In Exodus and chapter 31, we read from verse 32. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. The Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. God spake and created the heavens and the earth. He divided the light from the darkness. He spake and the world was brought into being. He spake and the seas were separated from the dry land. He spake and all living things grew forth upon the ground. He spake and created all the living creatures in the heavens, on the land and in the seas. He spake and created man from the dust of the earth and breathed life into him and made him a living soul. He caused man Adam to be put into a great sleep, and he took out of his side, out of the rib of his side, he made woman and gave woman unto man that he should not be alone. God brought forth all living things, mankind included, and created them in 6 days, and having finished the work of creation, he rested on the seventh day. He rested on the Sabbath and was refreshed. He finished the work. In 6 days he created the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. Likewise at the cross, God in Christ came into this world and went to the cross to bring in a new creation. The last Adam, the second man, went to the cross to bring in a new creation. And in 6 hours at the cross, God worked in Christ. The Son of God worked and labored as he bore the sins of his people and took them away. And through his death, through his labor of faith upon the cross, through his work of faith, as he suffered under the outpouring of God's wrath upon him, and God poured down, the Father poured down his wrath upon the Son. Through that work of faith, as Christ believed that the Father would take away the sins of all his people and blot them all out and bring in everlasting righteousness, as he suffered as he laboured. He delivered his people and he brought in a new creation. And at the end of the 6 hours, he cried out, "It is finished." And he was laid in the grave. His people with him. And at the end of the Sabbath day, the physical Sabbath, at the end of the Sabbath day, as the light dawned on the first day of the week, Christ and his people rose again from the dead. They rose up together, Adam with his bride. Out of his side she was taken as he slept. The people of God, the bride of Christ, all for whom he died and suffered. Out of his side she was taken, and on the first day of the week, the second man, the last Adam and his bride, rose again in newness of life, in everlasting life, a new creation to live and rest together in glory forevermore. On the first day of the week and the end of the Sabbath, Christ entered that everlasting and eternal rest which he brought his people into. That people created anew in Christ, without sin, having the righteousness of God put to their account through his shed blood. That people and their Saviour entered glory and entered into a rest that can never be taken away. They entered into rest. They entered into that seventh day that carries on eternally. The light of the sun will never be taken away. The sun has risen and is setting glory on high, and he shines forth in glory. He is the light of the new heavens and the new earth. There is no sun in that kingdom, we read in Revelation. For the Son of God is the sun. He is the light of that kingdom, and he ever shines forevermore. There is one everlasting Sabbath day into which this people enter. An everlasting and eternal rest. That is the fulfillment of this Sabbath, which God spake of unto Moses in Exodus, when he delivered the law as tablets of stone on Mount Sinai, written with the finger of God. When God reminded Moses of this perpetual covenant of the Sabbath day, and how he created the heaven and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed, he tells Moses in type and in figure that this is what he will do through his Son everlastingly, in that everlasting covenant of grace, that new covenant, when he will deliver his people from their sins. This one day of the Sabbath was a picture of that everlasting day which the believer enters into by faith in Christ. What a blessing the Sabbath is. What a blessing this everlasting rest is. If you, believer, have been brought to faith in Christ, if you have seen your sins blotted out by his blood, if you have seen them washed away, and you have seen the righteousness of God put to your account, then you will know what it is to rest and to enter into rest. All the labouring, all the work you tried to do to gain salvation, you found to be worthless. You could do nothing to save yourself. You could do nothing to cleanse yourself. You could do nothing to wash your sins away. But here, brought to an end of yourself, brought to an end of all your efforts in religion to please God, brought to the point of saying, "Woe is me, I am undone. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death?" brought to an end of self and an end of working for salvation. Christ in the gospel comes unto you and points you to his blood, his finished work, the everlasting rest that he has brought in for you. And by faith, you look and behold your Saviour upon the cross, suffering in your stead, suffering for your sins, your iniquity, your rebellion, your unbelief. There he is in your place. He died that you might live. He was judged that you might be spared. He suffered that you might be refreshed everlastingly in him, in an eternal and an everlasting Sabbath. And when you're brought to that point to believe, then you're delivered from the 6 days of work in which you laboured, delivered from the law, delivered from your attempts to keep the law and to work at building a righteousness with which God might be pleased. Like Adam and Eve, you previously tried to sow yourself fig leaves to hide your iniquity, to hide your transgression. But now God comes and puts upon you clothing covered in the blood of Christ, the righteousness of God. He clothes you and your sins are covered. And you're righteous and perfect in God's sight. And you enter into everlasting rest. Oh, what a blessing this rest is. And what a blessing it is to understand this rest. That it's not one day in a week. It's not the observance of one day in the week, whether it is Saturday or Sunday. It's not the observance of a day. That was but a figure. But in the new covenant, Christ having come, our Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, the believer's Sabbath, is an eternal Sabbath. It was pictured by the seventh day, kept by the Israelites of old. But now the believer keeps it every day that he looks unto Christ by faith. It's everlasting. It's everlasting. God has finished the work. He's finished the work. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. The work is done. But many continue to feel the need to work. How easily the believer can be led astray, like those at Galatia. When there were those that came into the Galatian church and taught them that, yes, Christ has died. Yes, he's delivered you from your sins. Yes, his blood has been shed. But now you should keep the law. Now you should observe the law. You should live a certain way. You should keep the law. You should keep the Sabbath day, in order to walk righteously before this God. And they bring the believer who's been delivered from the law by the blood of Christ back under that law and back under a keeping of a literal Sabbath. But they put them back under the works and the 6 days of working which they've been delivered from. It's so subtle and so easy to deceive, because there is this idea that by so doing you will observe righteousness. You will restrain your sin. You will live outwardly in a manner pleasing unto God. But this turns us from faith in Christ and resting in Christ and looking to the gospel of Christ and the cross of Christ, unto looking to ourselves and our own obedience and the outward law which instructs that obedience, and striving to be obedient. And far from being obedient, the more we strive to be obedient, the more we sin. The more sin is flared up, as the flames of sin are flared up and stirred up within us. The more we strive to keep the law, the more we fail, the more we fall. This is what Paul found in Romans 7. The good that he would, he could not do, and the evil that he would not, that he did. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? He wanted to be obedient, he wanted to be righteous, but by trying to, through the law of God, he did the very opposite. He didn't fulfill the law, he sinned more and more. Oh, he might be able to restrain himself outwardly. He might be able to put on an outward show, as many do. Yes, he could keep the Sabbath one day a week. Yes, he could work 6 days physically and stop to work on that day. Yes, he could go to worship. Yes, he could dress a certain way and pray a certain way. But it was all outward. In his heart, sin was stirred up in rebellion against that which was commanded. And by turning to the law, his gaze was turned away from faith in Christ in the gospel. He wasn't looking unto Christ. He wasn't looking unto the finished work of Christ. The believer that is exhorted to keep the law and to use the law as a rule of life turns his gaze away from Christ, away from the finished work, back to himself, back to the law, back to his own deeds, back to his own obedience, his own observance. His concentration is on self and on his own righteousness, his own self-righteousness. He doesn't look unto Christ. He doesn't rest in Christ. He ceases to believe in Christ alone. Oh, the appeal is made that we ought to work. We ought to keep the law. We ought to live a certain way. We ought to be like this. But the ought is in the wrong place. Our obedience, which is exhorted of us in the gospel, is the obedience of faith. We are exhorted to look unto Christ, to believe on Christ, to stand fast in Christ and in his gospel. We are exhorted not to return unto the dead works of the law, not to be entangled again in that yoke of bondage. We're pointed time and time again by Christ and the apostles to look by faith unto Christ alone. And in so doing, we rest in Christ and we rest in the Sabbath. Those who would call us to keep the law and to keep a literal Sabbath bring us back under the works of obedience to the law. They bring us back to works. They bring us back to the 6 days of works. And they bring us back in this eternal Sabbath in which the believer dwells back to working on the Sabbath day. When God has commanded that 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh, no work shall be done. The seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. O believer, when you came to faith in Christ, God brought you into an everlasting seventh day of rest, holy to the Lord. I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I've set you apart. I've taken you out of the world and out of that legal religion, out of the religion of works in which this world dwells, and I've brought you under grace. I've brought you into an eternal and an everlasting covenant of grace. I've separated you from the world. I've separated you from sinners and from sinful religion. I've delivered you from bondage. I've delivered you out of the 6 days of labor, and I've brought you into the seventh day of rest. You are holy to the Lord. And whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, in this everlasting Sabbath day, shall surely be put to death. The believer is called to rest in Christ, to rest everlastingly in Christ, to every day to rest in him and stand fast in him and resist any call or temptation to work in this Sabbath day. We ought not to work. We ought not to mingle the law with the gospel. We ought not to take up the law as our rule of life. We ought not to render legal obedience to the law by our own deeds, our own strength, when Christ has done the work. When Christ has fulfilled the law to the uttermost through shedding his blood for us upon the cross. His work of faith fulfilled that law totally. His work of faith brought the righteousness of God in everlastingly for us. There's nothing that can be added to it, nothing that can be taken away from it. He's finished the work. And to turn on the Sabbath day, this eternal everlasting day of rest into which we've entered, to any sort of obedience to that law in our own strength is to work on the Sabbath day. And he who works on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. We ought not. We are commanded not to work, but to rest. Our obedience is the obedience of faith, not the obedience of dead works. We've ceased from dead works, and we are exhorted to stand fast in Christ. As those Hebrews delivered from Egypt, when they were led forth by Moses unto the Red Sea, they were brought to stand fast, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They were brought to an end of anything they could do. They'd been brought out of the house of bondage. They'd labored all those years, all those days, that figurative 6 days in the land of bondage. They've been brought out of it, delivered from it. And here they are before the Red Sea. And they cannot pass through it. And the Egyptian certain death comes behind them. And Moses says unto them, as we saw last week, stand fast and see the salvation of the Lord. They were brought to an end of doing anything. And they beheld, and they saw the Lord work. And the Lord parted the seas before them and led them through dry shod. The Lord did a miraculous work. He did the impossible, and they saw it, and he delivered them. They, as it were, beheld by faith. Stand still. That's God's command to us. That's his command to you, believer. When those come alongside you and say you should go here and go there and do this and do that, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Behold, by faith, believe. Again, Paul exhorts the Galatians, who are entangled and bewitched by these that came in and would seek to put them back under law as believers. Yes, you've been justified by faith, but now sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourself through the work of the law. And Paul comes unto them and says, stand fast. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast, believe in Christ alone. He'd spoken there in chapter 4 of the two covenants, that which was from Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, and that which is from Jerusalem above, which now is. He speaks of casting out the son of the hand of the bondwoman. He speaks of casting out that which came from Sinai. You're no longer under that law. You're no longer under that covenant. You're under the new covenant of grace, which comes from Jerusalem above, through Christ alone. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Who shall sanctify you? You speak of justification and sanctification. God has justified us through the blood of Christ. He has also sanctified us, as Moses is told. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I have set you apart, and I have taken you in Christ into an eternal Sabbath, sanctified forever, set apart wholly to the Lord, never to return to the days of work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, and in Christ it never ends. The believer rests in this Sabbath every physical day upon earth, because it's an eternal, everlasting, spiritual day in Christ in which he dwells. He rests in faith in Christ. He looks and beholds Christ. He stands fast by faith. He believes. He believes in what Christ did for him at the cross. By faith, he rests in him. And to be obedient to this command, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be obedient to this command is to fulfill the law of God regarding the Sabbath. And to be obedient to the command of the Sabbath, truly obedient to the command of the Sabbath, is to rest in Christ. The children of Israel kept the law outwardly, but the only ones that kept it spiritually are those who, through that law, through that type and that figure, through that sign that was given unto them and to all their generations, through that covenant, looked and beheld a Saviour, the Son of God, a sacrifice that God would send them, who laid down his life for them, who delivered them from bondage and brought them into rest. Those who kept that law spiritually are those who were brought by faith to rest in God their Saviour. Those who were brought to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Not just stand still on that day and see the miracle performed on that day, but to stand still in their hearts before God and daily, eternally see the salvation of the Lord in Jesus Christ. Those who are brought to obey this command of the Sabbath are those who are brought to rest in Christ alone for salvation and never to return to the bondage of the law. You say you're returning to the law as your guide of life. And one of the commands you read in that law is to keep the Sabbath day and to do no work in that Sabbath day, for it is holy. So you take one day of the week and you try not to work in that day, and you don't entertain yourself in that day, and you go to the meetings in that day, and you think you've kept the Sabbath day because you've done this outwardly. What a fool you are! That's merely an outward observance like the Jews of old observed, but it's that which is eternal which keeps it. To keep the Sabbath day is to rest eternally in Christ. And to truly keep it is to be delivered from the law, delivered from carnal and outward obedience to the law, delivered from a mere keeping of one day, to rest every day in Christ. This is how we fulfill it. This is how we cease to work in any way on that day, by believing in Christ alone for salvation, by believing that he's fulfilled the law through his shed blood on the cross, by believing that he's brought in the righteousness of God, which fulfills all the demands of the law for us, and that righteousness is ours and cannot be added to, by believing that the work is finished, by ceasing from all our works, all our legal obedience, all our self-righteousness, and treating it and owning it as filthy rags, and resting in the righteousness of God alone. This is how we keep the Sabbath day. Never returning to the works of the law. Never returning to legal obedience, outward works, to carnal religion, fleshly religion, that which is done before the sight of men when the hearts are far from God. There is no work to be done because God has completed the work. He finished the work in Christ. It is finished, Christ cried at the end of the hours upon the cross. We can't recreate what God has done. We can't recreate a new creation that He's already wrought and brought in. He has created us anew within 6 hours upon the cross, pictured by the 6 days of creation. We're created anew and brought into a seventh day of rest, an everlasting day. Our rule of life as believers, as Galatians 6 tells us, our rule is to rest in faith in Christ as new creatures, as new creations, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Him upon the cross, crucified for us, having finished the work. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. This is our rule of life, believer. That we are a new creature in Jesus Christ. We glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We behold Him by faith and we rest in Him by faith. We ought to rest. Should you say, but as a believer, should I not do this and should I not do that? What we ought to do is we ought to rest in Christ our Sabbath. We ought to rest in Him by faith. And to do anything else is to take up our hand and work. To try to recreate that which God has created perfectly. To try to add to the finished work of God. To try to add something that we can add to it. It's to take away from the work of God. It is to work in the Sabbath day. And whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. This is how serious this matter is. Those who entangle believers or entangle themselves back under works, back under the law of God, back under legal obedience, those who talk of the law as being the believer's rule of life or his guide of life or that which will be the tram lines along which he walks, those who bring the law back when Christ has delivered us from it, when we're married unto Christ and delivered from our former husband, those who would bring us back cause us to commit adultery in turning away from our new husband Christ and cause us to break the Sabbath day rest. They say keep a Sabbath, but in taking you from resting in Christ alone back to legal works, you are breaking the Sabbath, and the consequence is the judgment of God sounds out from on high, that whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. You prove by your deeds that you do not believe in the finished work of Christ, that you do not rest in Christ, that you do not truly have faith in Christ. He isn't your all in all. You make a profession of His name whilst you're still under law. You're still seeking to save yourself. You're still seeking to sanctify yourself. You're still adding something to His works. You turn away from Him. We ought not to work in the Sabbath day. We ought to rest. Rest by faith, trusting and believing in Christ alone. Indeed, turning from God and resting in Him is the very essence of the fall of man at the beginning. Figuratively, Adam was in the seventh day. God had created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And there was man with his God in the seventh day, in this rest, put in this Garden of Eden, with no labour before him, nothing to be done. And he could rest there forevermore. But Adam's heart, stirred up by his wife through the deception of Satan the serpent comes unto them and deceives and gets at the man through the woman and says, "Thou shalt not surely not die. If you eat of the fruit of this tree, surely you shall not die." For there was a tree that the Lord had commanded that Adam should not eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A tree which would instruct him about what was good and what was evil. A tree which would instruct him in righteousness and how to be right and how to avoid wrong. And Adam ceased from resting in Christ, resting in God alone, and turned to this tree and ate of this tree. And in eating of this tree, he was turning unto works. He was turning unto gaining that knowledge by which he might instruct himself in how to live. He ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is what he wanted. He wanted to know good and evil. He wanted to be as a God. He wanted to be as a God, knowing good from evil. As God said of him, Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He was cast out. Man turned to works. He turned to his own strength. He turned to working and adding to the work of God. He turned to his own wisdom and the knowledge of good and evil. And through it he died. He disobeyed God. He turned from resting in God to his own self and his own glory. He became, as it were, as a God, knowing good from evil. And the tree of life was barred from him. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. God said unto Adam, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Adam would work. He would turn to his own strength. He would turn to his own wisdom. He would know good from evil and act on it himself. And the result of it was death and condemnation. The result of it was hard labour in this world. He worked by the sweat of his face to gain bread and survive. He had to till the hard ground. He put himself under works, and works was what God put him under. He hardened his heart against God, and God hardened him. And the way to the tree of life was barred. Except God preached the gospel in mercy unto him and Eve, and said, in order to live, blood must be shed. He took the animals. He slew the animals. Blood was shed and he clothed them. And in a figure he said, your sin has brought this death. And the only way back from your sin in turning to your works, turning to your wisdom, turning to your glory, the only way back unto life is if one dies in your place, is if one sheds his blood in your place. Adam ate of the tree and was cast out of this rest which he had in Eden. He was cast out of this seventh day figure in which he dwelt. And he knew what it was to sweat and to toil and labour. That was what his disobedience brought in. That's what your disobedience has brought in. That's why you sweat. That's why you labour. That's why you cannot survive. That's why you're dying and are dead in your sins, in trespasses and sins. That's why God is afar off and you're estranged from him by nature. Adam would work. He would labour. He would glory in self. You will work. You will labour. You will glory in yourself and your own doing. You will seek the praise of man and seek the praise of God even. But the result is sin, death, iniquity, dwelling in darkness, toiling in the sweat of your face. The result is all the misery that we experience in this world. All the tragedy, all the misery, all the heartache, all the loss, all the bereavement, all the disease, all the disasters, every evil thing and evil consequence that mankind experiences in this world is because he turned from God and turned to his own works and his own glory and would not rest and stand still and believe in God alone. Unto dust shalt thou return. He shall surely be put to death. Put to death. He who labours on the seventh day shall surely be put to death. Adam died spiritually as a consequence of his disobedience. You and I in Adam have died because of Adam's disobedience and our disobedience in him. And we've all been disobedient from the day we were born. In the same way, we've turned from God. We've turned from looking unto God. We've turned from trusting God. We've turned from him. We've gone our own way. We go in our own strength. We will work in order to gain salvation. We will work in order to bring glory unto ourselves. We won't stop. We won't stand still. We won't look helpless, weak, without strength, hopeless, guilty unto God. We will stand in our own foolish arrogance, our own wisdom. And the consequence, like Adam, is we are put to death because of our disobedience. But as God showed unto Adam in taking those skins of the animals, in taking the animals and slaying them and clothing him in blood-soaked skins, there was one whom God would put to death for his people. One who he would put to death, that those who disobeyed, those who worked when they should rest, those who turned from God should be delivered from their sin, delivered from their iniquity, delivered from condemnation. Christ, the Son of God, was put to death. And in his death, he worked that we should rest eternally. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth. Light was separated from darkness, the sea from the dry land. All was brought into being. God breathed life into man. He brought the woman out of the side of Adam, and then he rested. And when Christ came into the darkness of this world and was rejected of all and taken up outside Jerusalem to be crucified and nailed upon a cross and lifted up above the earth that all men should behold, when he was lifted up and suffered and hung there, in 6 hours he laboured and worked by faith in order to deliver his people from their sins. In 6 hours he worked in order to bring in that new creation. 3 hours in the light and 3 hours in the darkness, the Son of God hung. He hung 3 hours in the light and 3 hours in the darkness. In those 6 hours, the work of God was to divide light from darkness, heaven from hell, the sheep from the goats. God's elect from the reprobate. In those 6 hours, God divided the light from the darkness. He divided heaven and earth. He divided the sea from the dry land. He brought his people into being. He brought them, as it were, through the sea into dry land, into a new heaven and a new earth. He brought forth a new creation. Life was breathed into man, in the new man. And the bride of life was brought out of his side as he slept, as Christ entered into the darkness of the grave. 6 hours upon the cross, in the light and in the dark, when he cried out, "It is finished," and slept, his wife, his bride, was in his side. She was there as he suffered upon the cross. It was her sins which he bore. It was her sins for which he suffered. It was her sins which brought the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God down upon the Son of God. It was her sins that caused him to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was her sins which caused his blood to be shed. And as he was laid in the grave, as he slept, she slept with him. And on the beginning, on the first day of the week, as the light shone and the Sabbath was at an end, she rose with him. And she was brought out of his side. The bride of Christ was brought out of the side of her husband, the second man, the last Adam. She was brought out and presented to him. Eve was presented to Adam, as it were. A new creation, to live forever, spotless and without blemish. That church delivered from the side of Christ, for whose sins he suffered, she was presented unto him, spotless and without blemish, righteous. The blood of Jesus Christ having washed away every spot and every blemish, every sin, past, present and future. She was presented to him in the victory of that moment, as he rose again from the grave, as he rose with her in newness of life, a new creation together, to enter into that eternal rest in the new covenant and in the new heavens and the new earth, the inheritance prepared for them. What a work he wrought in those 6 hours upon the cross. 6 days God laboured in the first creation as a picture which points us to the 6 hours of labour of faith of Christ upon the cross to bring in the new creation. The day of rest at the beginning The seventh day, the Sabbath day, points to the everlasting day of rest into which God's people enter in Christ as he rose from the grave. Oh, what a day this is. What a rest this is. Have you been brought there, believer? Have you been brought to rest in Christ? We rest in him, never to work again. Never to work again. We're under grace, not under the law. There is nothing to be added to the work of Christ, which he wrought by faith upon the cross. Nothing at all. Nothing can be added. Nothing should be added. Nothing must be added. For to add to that is to put our hands to the labour. It is to work in the day of rest. It is to get up in this eternal Sabbath and do work in that day which the Lord has sanctified and made holy. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. We either rest in Christ eternally and live forever in him by faith, or we put our hand to the work and we die forever. It is life or death. Life or death. Works or faith. Law or grace. Everlasting judgment in darkness to come, or everlasting life in Christ alone in eternity. Those with life, those in Christ, those who are given faith to believe in him, and only those, enter into rest. Have you rested? Have you ceased from dead works? Have you been brought by faith, by the work of God, to keep the Sabbath day? We keep it in Christ, who is our Sabbath. We rest in him who is our rest. We trust in him who is all our salvation. Amen.